Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. My tongue's a little tied, I guess, this morning. Haven't done too much talking yet, but we welcome you to the show, and today we're continuing our discussion on the levels of psychic ability, how to develop your sixth chakra, and we've got some callers in the queue, so welcome, callers. Thanks to everyone that's just listening, and just to let everyone know, we do have some links we'd love if you joined us on. Of course, following us here on Blog Talk Radio would be fantastic, and you may do so by pressing follow under our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. You may also join us on Facebook, our fan page and our friend page. One can be found via the link on our Blog Talk Radio profile, and you can find the other via that profile. And Neil's number, 562-596-7818. But Neil, we were talking on Wednesday about developing the third eye and how it's not just something one decides to do and does immediately. It does take dedicated effort, just like any pursuit. It takes time and practice. And, you know, there's a relationship has to be established with guides, spirits, angels, to start opening the third eye to the astral realm. But I'm going to hand it over to you because I know you have some specific advice that you can give our callers, you know.
Well, first of all, you know, I mean, having psychic abilities can be God-given. You can have a gift from birth.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, but callers, press 1 if you want to speak with us. I know that the message from Blog Talk Radio is not prompting you to do that now, but press 1 if you'd like to speak with us because 2 of you don't have your hands raised, so we don't know if you want a reading or if you're just listening. 951 and our private caller, please raise your hand. Go ahead.
And so you can have a gift from birth. You can, it's something you can have since you were childhood, have some natural ability or gift. And then there are those who want to, who have an agenda at later in life, and they want to start to develop their abilities in a certain area of psychic abilities. And then you can just work at it. I think work is required on any part, whether you have a gift or not. Work and knowledge and research and reading and practice is always makes a better perfection of job.
Right. We were talking about this last night, Neil, and, you know, we were talking about prodigies, you know, instrumental prodigies, musical prodigies, and those people practiced, you know, and took lessons from childhood for hours and hours upon hours a day. And most people out in the listening audience, including myself, you know, had psychic gifts but weren't psychic prodigies. You were more of a psychic prodigy, and you dedicated hours and hours and hours over the course of 4 years developing your abilities. So people have to remember that it's really important to dedicate time and that you're not just, you know, connecting with your imagination.
No, that's right. That's right. And a mild correction. I can remember distinctly remember psychic phenomena and events at the age of 4, so actually I've been doing this for about 60 years.
Right, I'm sorry. I made you younger.
Years. Yeah.
How fun.
And but even at the age of 8 or 9, I was already reading esoteric books, and my grandfather was helping with that. But anyway,
and I apologize. It was your professional career. I think I was referring to about 4 years.
That professionally,
on a
professional level, about over 40 years. But since I was 4, I was working with it and studying it and everything like that. Okay, so. Well, there's a list of psychic abilities. I mean, whoever is out there listening that's interested in developing their psychic abilities, whether you're doing aura reading or automatic writing, astral projecting, there's all kinds of different categories, dowsing, faith healing. That just goes on and on and on in terms of what your ability is, whether you want to be a clairvoyant or whatever, that you just want to do code readings, want to be a tarot card reader, numerologist. I kind of worked throughout my 60 years of this. I've dealt in all kinds of different attitudes of psychic abilities, and that's just where I come from. So, because I want to have a full grasp of it, and so I've done the majority of the above that I've mentioned plus more, but. And there are many countless more. I just don't want to spend a lot of time listing every single category. But, you know, you've got to have that ability within to get connection with your third eye, with your sixth chakra, which is basically the main headquarters of being psychic. You need that energy. I mean, we have the ability to be intuitive and to have hunches and to be somewhat clever in our approach to predicting things or feeling things or sensing things, vibes about people. But to go into the direct channel of being a professional psychic, where you study hard, you learn your craft, you read your books, you practice, you do all the things that are necessary, that's the first and foremost thing to do, is dive into studying it. Practice, study, read, do lessons, do exercises, work on your friends that you don't, they don't, they're aware that you're practicing. Just do everything you can to develop your abilities and then some. The then some is your conversation with higher powers, spirits and guides, angels, or if you will, maybe you don't even subscribe to those things. Maybe you just work with energy. Maybe you're just compose and a dialogue within yourself, and it's totally psychic and accurate. Well, it doesn't really matter where it's coming from, but you got to develop it and practice it.
Something that we were also discussing, you know, is that, you know, because psychic phenomenon isn't backed by science, and it's really hard to prove scientifically. There is, I mean, people run amok with many different ideas about how the universe works, so on and so forth. And, you know, establishing any legitimacy in what actually occurs is challenging because there are so many people with different opinions, and there's no licensing board for psychics. I mean, unless you're doing like an angel course with Dorian Virtue, which is questionable. But, you know what I'm saying.
No, there isn't. I mean, when I was young, UCLA had me do a test guessing things, and I outdid the machine or the calculation. I mean, you have things like that in Russia. There were tests done, and you have certain.
So you had explained a little bit more.
To test one's ability. But the thing about science is it's got to, you know, they have to have empirical evidence and data. You've got to be able to correct it and do it, and anyone's got to be able to do it in the lab. So it's hardly ever going to be a science, even though, and the scientific world doesn't really recognize it, but sometimes they're intrigued by it, and they really don't give it much validity because it kind of gets into the realm of 50-50 rational thinking, you know, guessing, guesswork, the hunches, the ratio of guessing to being accurate. Anyone can somewhat be accurate in the realm of psychic phenomena. So it's not, I don't think in my lifetime it's ever going to be considered a science, although I'd love to see angels and guides just materialize to everybody's naked eye, and then we're done with it and we've proven it. But until then, we're dealing in the esoteric world of science, something that is well beyond it. The closest thing it can come to is physics, really, because we're dealing with abstractions. But the only thing we can't do is we can't really go into the lab and prove it. We can get validated stories, and someone can be very accurate and say things that are uncanny. But the problem with psychic energy is that it cannot be duplicated in the lab.
Right.
We can measure things with ghost energies and electrical fields and things like that. But those are, that's just really a soft approach to the legitimacy of what scientific data is really about. It's leagues away from being any kind of science. Even though people will argue with me and they'll call it a science and understand it on an esoteric level, but not on a scientific level. Although I ascribe that, devoted my whole life to this work, and I back myself up with validity and
right.
believe in it.
So if you're talking to people that are trying to develop their psychic ability and trying to figure out if they're really connecting with something on the other side versus, you know, their own brain waves, what do you recommend they do? I mean, you get validation. This is part of how you conduct a reading, Neil, is that, you know, you pick up certain energies, maybe an angel will tell you, ask about, you know, if they're wearing a blue sweater, you astral project and you can see in their environment. You use these types of validations to confirm that the information that you're receiving is accurate. You know, a lot of psychics will just, there's a lot of conjecture going on in the information that they relay to their subject. So how do you suggest people that are learning how to connect get these types of validations? I mean, is this...
Well, you know, you have to really pinpoint what you're good at, whether it's remote viewing, which is something you're alluding to, or you're dealing
right.
with psychokinesis, and you're kind of manipulating matter and energy fields. It's a matter of what you're good at, and then you practice it, and the results are how valid and how significantly accurate you are. And then how much you can make an effect on the subject that you're dealing with. So I think that's very important. Some people kind of use their energy to project out and see the future. Other people will try to connect with loved ones that have crossed over and try to gather as much information as they can. It's about the understanding the energy field of your own world. You kind of go inside and do your own psychic evaluation as to how valid your energies are. But really what we're dealing with is something beyond the senses, the sixth sense, something beyond the senses of energy, so that one can pinpoint how accurate they are with abstract information, with something that really you can't see or hold or feel as a solid object. So we're dealing with invisible worlds, and you have to kind of get into that invisible world of your eternal eye and start to converse with it and talk to it and get to know it, see what its appetite is, what it really likes. Your third eye will speak to you, just like a baby will speak to you and say what foods it likes. Your third eye will tell you what it likes,
mm-hmm.
whether it wants to do it, any kind of data in terms of the psychic realm, whatever it wants to connect to, your third eye will lead you there. Your third eye might lead you to being a tarot card reader. It might lead you to being an astrologer. Your interests there are also combined with the history of your past lives, the depths of where you've come from and what you've agreed to function as on this earthly plane. So you're actually channeled to do certain things. It doesn't mean that you can't expand and be creative and learn new facets of the psychic realm, but basically we're almost channeled to express ourselves, if we're going to choose to be psychic, with an agenda in mind. We either stumble upon it, quote, by accident, haha, it really isn't an accident, or we deliberately choose a path and we develop it, and that takes like anything, practice, practice, practice.
Right. And, you know, a lot of what you have incorporated into your psychic readings, Neil, is numerology and those codes. I know your grandfather forced you to learn about numbers, which you were resistant
I was resistant, yeah, because the numbers had nothing to do with energy. I mean, at the time, I didn't know that. No,
right.
Subtracting and adding had nothing to do with being psychic. I was more enthralled with the activity of being a psychic,
right,
the ghosts and the spirits and telling people things and seeing things. I like that, you know, all that visual ride, thrill ride kind of effect, moving mm-hmm. things around and stuff like that. Looking at numbers and dividing a code. You know, my grandfather, when I was 5 or 6, he was already pounding me on the head saying, the numbers are not numbers. They speak. They're characters. They will morph in front of you. They have certain things to tell you. You've got to understand their language. And it was really because he was hitting me on the head so hard that I decided, okay, I better learn this because I've got too many bumps on my head. I had once had a psychic read my head and said I had so many bumps on my head that I came from about 8 different planets. And I said, yeah, they were all named Benjamin.
That's your grandfather's name.
But aside from that, you know, once I learned the language of numbers, I incorporated that into the thrilling world of the psychic phenomena, of psychic energy, of how to divine certain other things. So I use it as a tool.
Right.
It's a surgical tool, but it does have a certain amount of code energy in it. It's much as like looking at a human face to me. So, so I incorporated that. But I had to go into great study about numerology and study all the books and understand all the language, and then from there analyze what the limitations were and go and combined it with a certain attitude of my third eye so that my third eye joined the unity of a number system. And then I joined that and I started to converse with spirits, and I found that by learning a numerical system, I could better understand the universe, and I could better understand how spirits and guides and ghosts speak to me through vibration. So I deliberately take a vibration that I feel, I convert it to a number, I convert that to a voice, and I hear it through a process of elimination, or maybe a process of procreation, if you will, in terms of that psychic element. I'm able to divine information from the other side. And then use it with, you know, as many hefty tools as I can find. Through a sheer sense of craftiness, I can calculate, oh, this is going to be a third eye energy. This is going to be a past life thing. Oh, I got to go in here and talk to a loved one. So I'm equipped and trained enough, self-trained, actually, to enter into any one realm and feel comfortable in that realm without feeling lost. And you never really are lost if you're a good psychic. You're sometimes confounded and a little bit challenged by the information you're getting, and you have to sometimes even go to guessing or asking questions. I'm never opposed to looking sort of weakened as a psychic by asking a person questions. That, you know, that's not a big deal. As long as you know what you're doing and you're authentic in your attempt to be a predominantly as a legitimate psychic, if you want to call it that. But the first thing, like I said, is it's a deep conversation. You've got to go into your third eye, and if you don't know what that means, then you got to read. And you got to read, and you got to read. You got to understand really what the correct. There's enough information out there now in today's world, because when I was a kid, it was mostly just esoteric forbidden books, but now it's all over the bookstores. And when I was growing up, they just had psychic occult bookstores. You didn't walk into a Barnes and Noble. You might find something by Sidney Amar or somebody, but there wasn't much information out there, and we certainly didn't have the internet. So the only information we had were, you know, gypsies in the stores and palm readers, and then a couple of books and maybe a society or two that was devoted to it. But that's, you know, in a nutshell, I think that's what's most, you understand the language, not only of the third eye, but the language of how to perceive a vibration and translate it into a language.
Right, and the numbers are a great tool to start to develop one's ability. And so, you know, hopefully people will use our book once it's out as a resource. Who knows when that's going to happen, but...
yeah, you know, so it's... whenever we get into these discussions,
we're going to continue on Wednesday. I already planned.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like we're always just giving this brief survey. Sometime we should go into something with more depth. But
of course,
we want to answer people's questions as part of the show too.
Yes, and maybe we will add an episode. I think, Neil, where we are just doing teaching, but for now we're
people can call in just to ask questions, not about their personal life, but about the information, the topic that we're really dealing with.
Exactly. Okay, so let's bring on. We've got five of you in the queue right now, which we lost one, who I was about to bring on. Nathaniel just hung up. Okay. Let's bring on our private caller first. So everybody's getting a reading. Hi there.
Hey, this is Deanna. I'm sorry. This is Deanna, and I'm walking around, and that's why I didn't push hello. Plus, I didn't do the letter yet, which made me feel very shameful. I'm sorry if you can't hear me well. Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm wearing the headset, so I don't know if you can hear me well because I was working around the house. But like I said, I haven't been to do the letter yet. Possibly today and tomorrow at the very latest.
Deanna, can I ask you a quick question, Deanna? The letter, can you just like give a 30-second overview of why you're writing the letter? I know it has to do, because I know you've told us before, but it's not clear.
Okay. It's gone on for 15 years. There have been a lot of events going on here, vandalism,
related
theft, et cetera, to the condominium.
Related to your residence
and the common residence of all people, and the people that have sold it, more than half the people. So it's like a review of everything that has happened, because this is a criminal matter. My mail has been stolen since 2009. But I need to put it in like a compendium, and it is just so over-challenging me. I want to say something to you. I'm really happy that you're going to do a teaching show as well.
Well,
because
every time it gets
to that good point, that's when, it drops. So I do appreciate that.
Maybe one a month. I mean, I don't know if we can commit to a third show a week. I don't think that's going to happen. But maybe one or two a month where we dedicate it to teaching.
That would be great.
That would be great. Deanna, your journey involves a sort of a tribal journey, because it's not just an inner journey. You're connecting to a higher unit, a higher group of people, and it seems like you're under kind of attack or confusion, conflict with these people. So maybe there's got to be a different approach as to why you're having such trouble with this letter, because it's got to be in a group consciousness atmosphere. And that might be why you're feeling so overwhelmed, because you feel alone in this attempt, and you don't seem to have the support or the motivation to get yourself on a soul level, S-O-L-E, to get this thing rolling. So there must be some kind of group energy activity that you're public with. There's a lot of there's a lot of noise going on, so I don't know if we can spend a lot of time today on the air with you, because there's so much noise, but
I removed the headset. I found the phone and removed the headset because I wasn't hearing you clearly. You're right, it is a community thing. I was participating even before I lived here for 4 years at no charge to them. So, yes, it is a community thing. It is a broad-based thing, but it is affecting me personally, individually.
Right.
And that's what's so difficult. And more difficult than that is right now I'm at a point where I am on the minus in the bank. And it's just so difficult to go forth when you feel like that. If I go to the internet place, the guy who owns it and his wife who know me, I have to borrow the time from them. And that's very, it's not so much demeaning but or humiliating, but you feel very powerless.
Well, you know, I was saying, I don't know if you heard me, Deanna, but, you know, Neil makes me watch Judge Judy, which I isn't maybe the choice that I'd make if I were turning on the television, but I have learned a lot from the show. And, you know, she, I'm thinking if this were in her court, she would say, well, if you're unhappy, move. And I don't know if that's an option for you, but...
No.
Yeah, it's very difficult because I don't know...
This is home for 40 years. And this is allowing these people to do whatever they want, to whomever they want, just because they want. No, no, I'm fighting this to the end. But, gosh, I need more help doing it.
I mean, I'm totally sympathetic to you. I believe in standing up for what you believe in and righting wrongs. But on a legal basis, it may be difficult. I don't know, Neil. What do you
think? Well, you know, the only thing I would... adjust to if I were you is the fact that that letter, you have to be aware of that if there's any true authentic procrastination going on or intimidation on your part within yourself to not get the letter written. I know it may seem overwhelming, but to me, you know, you take one step at a time, and I've written many novels and I've done it sentence by sentence. But if I continually sat there and just said, oh, it's an overwhelming project without taking it sentence by sentence, I wouldn't have it written. So, you know, I understand your plight, Deanna, but at the same time, to help you, I can't support the reasoning behind not doing it. I can't, you know, it's not something I can support. So I would say get going on that letter, start to work, because by doing that, you're going to open up your horizon. You're going to broaden your horizon. You might be able to bring in an advocate that is karmically connected to you, someone that may help you, or the universe itself may manifest an easy bridge for you to walk upon while you're in the process of doing it. So I must say it's discouraging to hear you say you haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm going to once again encourage you to get that letter written and start working on it as we speak. I know, get it going, Deanna, so we can help you further on.
Thank you, and I hope to call you Wednesday and say yes. Thank you
so
much.
Deanna.
I will continue listening. God bless you
of
both,
course.
And I enjoy the talk.
Sure. God bless you. God bless you. And we will be
thank
putting
you,
out the best energy. What did I just do here? Oh, I muted her. I pressed the wrong button. Sorry, I got a little confused by the screen. All the colors and lights are dizzying.
Colorful.
They updated the display apparently, and so it's overwhelming for me. 951, Nathaniel, you came back. Wait, what is wrong with me? I can't even unmute a caller. Sorry, hi.
Hello.
Hi, 5157. Hello? Hi there. Hi, Nathaniel. What's going on?
Hi. Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
Oh, I didn't know if it was me or not. Yeah, I've had another call come in.
Oh.
Hey, how you both doing?
We're doing fine.
Fine,
I guess. Fine.
Cool. Well, anyways, here we go. Do you see anything for me coming up? Or?
Well,
go ahead.
Well, specifically, is there a specific question? You're just saying general. You just want a general reading, Nathaniel.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, general. Okay.
The thing I'm getting, Nathaniel, currently is, I mean, I always wish you well and success both in your job, your job hunting, of course, your music and your creativity. I'm always putting out good energy for you. But for some reason today, I'm getting something about a neighbor. Have you had any extraordinary interactions with a neighbor? Has anything come up yet with a neighbor that's a little bit off the beaten track?
Well, at work, I had a lady, come up with it was a German Shepherd dog. She had off the leash, and she came up. The dog was, like, barking and everything, and she was walking her dog on the property, and she was trespassing. Is that the problem, or?
Yeah, that's what I'm because I'm picking
That's actually not a neighbor. That wasn't a neighbor. That was somebody at work, and, I had mace in my hand, and, I didn't know if the dog was going to bite my leg because the dog was biting, barking. And I had the mace in hand, but I didn't fire the mace off.
The thing that it is, Nathaniel, is that it equates to me that where you're working is a sort of karmic environment of a past life where you lived on the property. Somewhere where you're working has a sort of karmic connection to a past life. And it might be that there might have been some tribal setting in a past life in that environment. And so that's why I'm confusing it with a neighbor metaphor. Now, her coming up to you with a dog and you feeling potentially threatened by the dog has something to do with a past life altercation that's now, in time, so watered down, it's hardly measurable. But I think it does probably signify that in a past life, on that property, in that territory where you work, you had a bad encounter with an animal. There was something, now we're talking about a past life. We're talking about something deep later, earlier in time, before the buildings were even there, where you had some karmic connection to that part of the earth, and you had an altercation with some human being and an animal. And now it's come back, but it's so watered down in karmic density that it just doesn't go any further than that. But it's an interesting thing to note, Nathaniel, because it has to do with energy, conflict, part of the job that you do as a security guard, I imagine. And so I can't get into more elaborate details, but it's just something, what I'll do quickly over the air is I'll just put blessing around your environment, protection, security. I think that's the best thing I can do for you today. Not to set up any alarms, but just to ensure you that there's protection around you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's fascinating when we look at our environment and we analyze that what we live, where we are at any given time and place can have karmic connections, that we've been on that land before. A lot of people feel very connected to that in terms of countries and continents and the islands, more or less locations, just specific locations like a home or a building. But that's where it's coming from, Nathaniel. So keep us posted on the events at hand. I'm sorry, that's all we have time for this immediate reading, but that's what I came up with.
All right, Nathaniel, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Okay, well, I'm not sure here what's going on because we're losing some callers, and I see someone from a private number came in, but I don't know that they dropped or not. We had another private caller, Gianna, today was calling in from a private line, but if a private caller, the caller from a blocked number is not Gianna, please raise your hand so we know that you want to speak with us. Okay. 407 is next. So everybody, hang out in the queue. We're going to get to your call. People are hanging out. Maybe they have to be somewhere. I don't know. 407, good morning.
Hi, this is Laura.
Laura?
Yeah. 420.
Laura from Florida?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your birthday again, Laura? She's 2911, too.
42481.
Uh-huh. Okay. 2, 3, 2. What's your question, Laura?
Okay. Me and my husband are working on trying to get a loan modification. And I actually called in some help through a work association. And they're going to be doing a three-way call tonight to see if we get that possibly lowered. I'm just wondering if Neil sees anything like that or could possibly put any positive energy toward that.
Yeah, you know, when we're dealing with loan modifications and things like this, is this loan directed towards what? What's the loan for?
Home?
Yeah,
it's our mortgage.
Okay, so the mortgage, because your voice was going in and out as we were talking. Well, that, again, like our former caller, that has to do with karma. If you have a certain karma in the element of your home that is wearing itself down to where you can transcend into a higher element, a renewal, a rebirth, if you will, then things are going to be favorable for you. If the karma of the home is evaporating, I mean, not only evaporating, but if it's coming to a significant change and a direction whereby the relationship with that property is coming to an end, then I would say that it won't go so well. I'd have to kind of look at, in more detail at the birth dates, at the address of the home. That would give me more of a sound basis to make a clear prediction. But I will tell you this, for the sake of it being an immediate reading on the radio, I think it's going to go okay. I think you're going to do okay. I don't. I guess I'm putting a lot of optimism in there for you because I care about people and I want to believe that what I say is going to happen, you know, if I have that chance to go to that creative space. So I'm doing it on your behalf to make it nice for you, to give you a good result. So I'm trying to be clearly optimistic as a psychic being. And I think it's going to go okay. Did your husband have any... While you've been with your husband, has he had any accidents with his leg? Has he ever had a problem with his leg? Anything along that line?
Well, okay, in high school, he had a football
injury.
And yeah.
You're cutting in and out. The connection is not good.
A football injury to his leg?
He had that in high school.
You're going in and out. But, Laura, I'll tell you this, because we're going to go down to our next caller. That's a validation. I'm actually connecting to that because it serves as a validation that your mortgage loan should come through. And I validate it by the very fact of trying to get into the psyche of either you or your husband. In this case, it was your husband, trying to find something that connects to him vitally in his lifetime, getting a validation and carrying that energy of the validation, not as a detriment to your future, but as a course of positive action that if I can pick up something in the past that's accurate, I can thereby make the present into a bountiful future by activating energy that will be in your favor. So we're going to go in there with good expectations. Let us know how it goes. You know, there's a certain amount of stress in my voice because I'm cautious about the results, but I'm going to be encouraging with the sheer energy of optimism, which in your case should work.
Okay.
So you should get the loan adjustment. It shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, Laura.
Bye.
All right, we've got two callers left now in about 19 minutes. So let's bring on 206, and then 916. This is Kate. Kate, hi.
92267.
Hi. 92267, right?
Yes.
That's Kate.
Yeah, she's a 268. What's going on?
I was just calling about why do I procrastinate certain things, like the things that I want the most, I wait for I do the least. You know, like if there's a bullseye, I really slowly enter the bullseye from the outer rings instead of just going for the middle of what I want to do.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, you're right, Neil. She's a 36.9. Sorry, I added that incorrectly. Apologize. State again what you're saying that, what?
I always kind of do things that if I like a job or a house, you know, whatever my goal is, I kind of will go for the outer rings and not for the center bullseye of what I really want to do. I kind of
procrastinate. I see. So you lower your expectations.
Yeah, I get the easier things on the outside first.
All right.
Okay, and what's your
question.
Premise? What do you want? I hear that you don't
aim to
the
goal. What's my block?
What's stopping you? Because you're afraid of the target. You're afraid of the bullseye. Something you're afraid of hitting the bullseye because it's intimidating to you. So it could be, Kate, that in your life you're afraid of direct confrontation. You're afraid of authority. You're afraid. There's something about it that you have a connection with hitting the point that it's disturbing to you because you've been conditioned to believe that if you hit the bullseye, you get hurt. You know, you have to kind of look back and trace your immediate psyche and say, gee, what did my parents make me feel intimidated? Did I have somebody in there that made me be afraid of hitting the bullseye?
Right.
Did you have anything coarse or harsh in your upbringing, Kate?
Not that comes to my mind.
Nothing comes to your mind. Well, you know, something, there's got to be something there.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I'm alluding to. Have you been hurt by confrontation ever? Did you go through a divorce? Did you try to confront something and you utterly failed? Was there anything in your, most of us as human beings have something to experience there.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess in the past I've tried things that failed, but I think everyone goes through that.
Everyone goes through that. Well, you know, too, it would take a little bit more time to analyze your intimidation about the bullseye, but it also is that some people, even predators, take things very cautiously. If you notice a cat, it creeps up. Usually predators can... Even the best predators, the ones that are the king of the beasts, will stalk and creep and calculate. It can be exhausting. Even I've watched spiders try to get their prey, and it seems like, come on already, just jump on them. and you can't. It's a cautionary thing because you're thinking first, how can I attack? How can I hit without hurting myself? And some of our best predators in the animal kingdom are really cowards. They're very uncertain about things. Once they set their mind to it, they can be brutal. But, you know, in most cases, they can be intimidated by what they consider to be the bullseye. A lot of big, big grizzly bears have been scared off because people wave their arms and try to look big and growl. And then they act like, God, what a nut. I'm not going to attack that thing. And so they, you know, there could be something there that you're backing off from, but there's something about the bullseye that intimidates you. Unless you've learned to approach the bullseye with caution and steady progression of thought, you calculate. There's something about that. But it sounds to me that you're presenting this with a problem, Kate, that it's something you're questioning, why do I do that?
Well, yeah, because it can freeze me. I could freeze and never approach the bullseye. So.
Well, then that's a fear and intimidation that's got to be thoroughly analyzed till you can get past this, because it could be stopping you from moving forward. And you are a 9, so you're supposed to be moving forward. So I would say that your problem is something that's worthy of analyzing.
Okay.
It's got to go into a deeper depth. But I think what we've done is we've got our hand on the doorknob and we've just poked our head in to a dark room, but we're starting to adjust to the light. And that's where it starts.
Okay. Hey, Kate. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
All right. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number for more in-depth discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, readings can be quick. And sometimes it just takes, you're working out so much karma and you're working out so much energy that the journey can be very exciting and very egocentric in a good way, because You know, when you put time into your world, into your life, to discover who you are and why you do the things you do, it can actually open up windows that you wouldn't even know they were there before. You paint a window on your door and suddenly you're walking through it and it's real.
Right.
So you got to open up your eye a little bit, get deeper into the analysis of who you are as a human being and why you operate the way you do.
Agreed, Neil. Okay, let's bring on our last caller, 916. Good morning.
Hello. Yeah, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
What's your birthday?
Okay, it's 8-2-51.
And you're in Northern California, it looks like. 10,
right.
10, 6. Have we spoken with you before, Nancy?
Yes, you have.
Yeah, your voice sounds familiar, but I wasn't sure. Okay. What's your question today?
Yeah, my question is, I started taking Reiki classes, and I'm really interested in getting involved in alternative health and also psychic development, maybe online, and I was wondering if that is something I should pursue or I'm wasting my time.
Well, I don't think it's ever a waste of time.
No, you're not wasting your time. And the fact that you – no, you're not wasting your time. Wasting time, to me, is laying in bed and staring at nothing. Well, even that could have something. But you're not wasting your time, no. Now, can you develop your Reiki, can you develop your psychic abilities? Do you have an agenda in your energy field to do that? Most certainly do. You're actually tapping back into a past life, Nancy, because it's 8-2. That's a drop of 6. Now, that 6 is your third eye. And you actually had a lifetime in a past life where you utilized your third eye capabilities. But what you did in that past life was you exchanged it for power. You were actually delved into the psychic world, but you did it to get personal power. That's the wrong thing to do. And in that regard, you've come back to the earth to find your psychic abilities again, without confusing it with an egocentric center of power. So you want to, the beauty of being a psychic is that you design it in such a way that you're really motivated to help others, and there's a blessing of payment or compensation or donation or whatever it may be, if that be the case, or you're just rewarded by the sheer fact of expressing yourself as a psychic energy source for people. But that personal development is something you've got to strive for, because you see, in your number system, you have 8-2, it's a drop of 6. Well, your 51 is an addition of 6. And that 6th chakra, where your third eye rests and lives and breathes and communicates with you, is hidden between two numbers, between the 8 and the 2, and in the accumulation of your 5 and 1. Now, your master number is 8, but it's composed of 26. And there's another 6. There's another 6. And your 8 is actually your month, as well as your master number. And 8 and 8 is 16, which is another 6. So you have 6s all over the place. Thank God you're not 666. And that 6 is the indication that you are here to be a psychic energy source. So yes, involve yourself in it, get into it. You're going to be 64 years old, so there's another 6. And there's a 2 in between the 6 and the 4, and 2 and 4 is 6. And, you know, this is getting ridiculous with the numbers, but I'm trying to convey to you, Nancy, today, that there is something I would agree with. Aside from the fact that I would invite anyone to be psychic, it doesn't always mean you're going to be accurate. I know a lot of psychics that I almost want to throw up when I hear them talk. You know, the things they claim or the things they say are just ludicrous and misleading. But let's talk about the authenticity of being a psychic. And if you go in there with authenticity and conviction, as well as a good practice arm and an education, then you're on the right path. And it sounds to me like you're an individual that's you know, positioning themselves in initiating themselves into the world of being a true, legitimate psychic person. So I would encourage you to do that with all this breath of words that I'm giving you.
Okay. Well, thank you. That
all
really
right.
confirmed the... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to have validation, especially when there's
yeah.
a pursuit.
Involve yourself with others. You know, being a psychic is a... So, unless you're going to be John Patmos and live on an island and just give your impressions of the universe. Being a psychic is being a social creature. You got to talk to others. You got to get in there. You can convey. You can have your time to be alone, but it's a human interaction activity. And so you've got to involve yourself with the energies of other people, learn how to protect yourself while you're doing it, as much as compassionately going into somebody's psyche and helping them realize things as you yourself are positioning your energy into their energy simultaneously.
Well, very good, because I really like authenticity.
That's good. That's a good basis for beginning your psychic journey. Nancy.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your call.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too.
562-596-7818. Well, we're out of callers, Neil. We could wrap a little early. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's do that today because we've got a long arduous day. Just teasing you. We are back on the air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to all our listeners and our callers. Bye-bye.